are open wide. This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
Welcome to A Biblical Response. In this hour, we invite you to take a journey with us to the heart of some of the hot-button issues of our day. What is behind these issues? How are Christians supposed to respond to them? Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart." So join us now as we bring God's word to bear on the narratives and the news that threaten our peace and cast darkness on our land.
And welcome to another edition of Biblical Response. I'm David Francoeur, the guy who punches all the buttons here, keeps us on the air, takes us off, either one. And I'm going to just welcome the team. This is the Biblical Response team. We're a great team, by the way. Thank God for
Amen.
Keith. Welcome, brother.
Good morning. Thank you very
Keith
much.
Masters and Stephanie Jacobson.
Good morning. Good morning.
And, of course, Ann Limhoko.
Good morning.
Yes. And everybody is ready to roll here. And in a moment, I'm going to give this over to Ann so she can get us started. First, I want to tell you, you can call in if you would like. We have someone here to answer the phone. And the number is 772-221-1100. That's 772-221-1100. And you can come on the air with us. And Keith is going to be in charge of the phone. Right, Keith?
Okay.
And it's that gray-looking thing with the buttons on it over there.
It's old-fashioned now.
Okay, it's really old-fashioned, real phone.
Let's go, guys.
And the green button will put the caller on the air for us. So 772-221-1100, that's the number to call. And I was trying to think if there's anything else I was going to say. We are going to move through to the bottom of the hour before we take our first break. So, if you wanted to get a Coca-Cola or an RC Cola with your Moon Pie or whatever you do when you listen to this program, you'll have to go get it now. So I'm going to just ask Ann get us started.
You know what? I'm excited about today's program because it is on the topic of free speech and the First Amendment. And all of you know that I'm a journalist.
If it
wasn't so obvious. But, you know, the First Amendment in our Constitution states, Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion. But this is what we're going to be concentrating on is the next part of the First Amendment. And that says, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press. Mm. So that's what the focus of our show will be on. And as a journalist myself, this holds extra dear to my heart because without a society that truly allows the practice of free speech nor penalizes its citizens for practicing free speech, then and only then can journalists, and we're all journalists actually in this room, right? Yeah. Can we really be free to truly investigate, gather, and report news to the public without penalty?
Amen.
Freedom of the press gives individuals and organizations, such as WCNO, the right to express, publish, and share information, ideas, and opinions without fear of censorship or government interference. And this is actually one of the reasons why the United States of America is so great, because of the freedom of the press. And that's what our founding fathers wanted. But unfortunately, in the last 4 years under the President Biden's administration, we have seen a demise of the freedom of the press. And I know that some of you guys, you'll definitely all agree with me in the room. We've seen a demise. And since I graduated from journalism school in 1996, I've seen it as well.
Yeah.
We've seen the consolidation of the media industry throughout the years. And that left a few giant media companies dominating the industry. So what we have now is six huge companies accounting for 90% of all media consumption. And this was back in 2021 was this latest statistic. And that basically consolidates the power into the hands of six conglomerates, which controls the dissemination of our news. So the concentration of media ownership reduces diversity of viewpoints. It creates a potential conflict of interests. The risk of bias and even the suppression of information that is at odds with the economic or political interests of the parent corporation. So that brings us to the last 4 years under former President Biden's administration, where we saw this played out. So under that administration, journalists were penalized and their press passes were taken away if their news outlets were not necessarily friendly with their agenda. Mm-hmm. So that was a complete conflict of interest. And as a result, the American people were not given an accurate picture of what was going on in our government, because it was basically what they wanted to feed us.
Right.
They spoon fed us.
So identities were taken away? 400 and change out of the White House?
The press passes?
The press passes.
440.
Yeah. 440 press passes that they were not allowing for them to be in the press briefing room and to write a story about what was going on in the White House.
Yeah, so their voices were taken away.
Right.
And we live in a country where we have the First Amendment and freedom of speech. So that's why President Trump, and we all know this phrase, he coined the phrase fake news.
Fake news.
Wow.
So his first administration, it was kind of disconcerting at times, because I'm thinking, why is he so angry at the
media?
And as it went on, it was like, oh my gosh, this man is not afraid to speak against what he sees behind the scenes. And that's what we're seeing right now.
Yeah.
It's helpful also to look at the entire discipline of journalism and what it is supposed to do.
Yes.
What we have, not just what we have expected it to do, which is expectations are important, as opposed to, if you and I, let's say, Ann, you and I are having a conversation and I have a point or an issue that I want, I'm certainly behind and have my reasons for it, and I share that with you, and you disagree with me, which is fine.
Yeah.
And you're going to use your First Amendment rights to disagree with me, share your disagreement. Mm-hmm. Hopefully we're going to have a dialogue, and in that, maybe we'll both discover some things. The search for truth then is really it's a fundamental part of human dialogue, human conversation. But journalism now has a very that is crucial, by the way.
It's crucial,
in journalism,
absolutely crucial,
because of the whole in journalistic endeavor in a nation. It's huge.
Yes,
and that people will turn to those journalistic endeavors to find out what's going on, because we ourselves may not have the resources to acquire the information that they're acquiring. But what we have found is that there used to be a day, and I'm old enough, and many of our listeners are old enough to remember Walter Cronkite.
I remember Walter.
Everybody in this room is old enough. But from my view, a quintessential journalist, and the guy that really, and others like
total
him,
total respect for Walter Cronkite.
That when he, at the end of his broadcast every day, would say, well, that's the way it is, you know, whatever day it was, you kind of knew that, no, he wasn't, he was trying to tell us, get across to us what was happening, just reporting what was,
objective reporting.
Right, not subjective, but objective.
Objective.
No bias. And over time, what's happened, and today especially, what we call the legacy media, mainstream media, is a lot about news manufacture, and to convince their audience of to do things or to not do things. That truth, the pursuit of truth, is not what we have found. Now, I'm just making this up. I'm not making it up. The evidence is that legacy media is no longer interested in pursuing and presenting truth.
It's sad.
So,
and we're seeing the demise of the legacy media. So, what I was saying was, last Wednesday, we got to see the introduction of Carolyn Leavitt. She is President Trump's youngest press secretary at 27 years old. And I don't know if you guys all watched it in here. It was like 46 minutes mm-hmm. of her first press briefing. Mm-hmm. And I was just so super impressed. I'll be honest with you. I'm like at 27, you know, let's see how she does. Yep. Even though she has extensive experience because she worked on her his campaign.
Yeah, mm-hmm. she ran.
But I came out after watching this press conference and I'm like, wow, impressive. And she really set a precedent for how the Trump White House was going to treat journalists. And this is one of her quotes that I took out of the press briefing. The Trump White House will speak to all media outlets and personalities, not just the legacy media who are seated in this room. Then she announced some key changes that the administration is going to make. And that first one is restoring the press passes of 440 journalists whose press passes were wrongly revoked by the Biden administration. And secondly, the Trump administration is going to be opening up the White House briefing room to new media voices who produce news-related content and whose outlet is not already represented in the room. Right. Isn't that exciting?
That is exciting.
So they're welcoming, this is what you said, we welcome independent journalists, podcasters, social media influencers, and content creators to apply for credentials to cover this White House. And then she had her second press briefing days later, and she said 10,000 requests were received by the press briefing room, and they're going to go through each one of them. So as a journalist, I was so excited. And, you know, nowadays, many people don't go to the legacy media for their news. I don't. No. I certainly go to podcasts. I go to citizen journalism. I go to different things because I don't trust the legacy media.
I know people that put them up on the screen and watch them all at the same time.
Oh, yeah. You got the young people who could do that.
You can't, yeah. I can't hear them all at the same time.
Too much ADD going on here.
Although I think they're all saying the same thing, right?
No,
well, they do.
Depends on who you put up there.
Right, yeah. From the legacy media, if you saw some of the it seems like they got together at a round table and decided when they were going against President Trump this is the word of the day. That's what they used to do. They used to use the word. Didn't matter what station you went to, that's what they were saying.
So for today's show, we're going to talk about the advent of this new chapter in our White House press briefing room and how this changes what the American people can now hear. So before we dive into conversation amongst this topic, we're going to play two clips.
Yep.
So the first clip is a clip of Carolyn Jean-Pierre. Karine Jean-Pierre. Yeah. And she was President Biden's press secretary. And we're going to play her very first words in her very first White House press briefing 4 years ago. And then the second clip is going to be Carolyn Leavitt, who is President Trump's press secretary, and her very first words in our press briefing last week. And we're going to play that now, and please note the contrast.
Here we go.
I am obviously acutely aware that my presence at this podium represents a few firsts. I am a Black gay immigrant woman, the first of all three of those to hold this position. I would not be here today if it were not for generations of barrier-breaking people before me. I stand on their shoulders. If it were not for generations of barrier-breaking people before me, I would not be here. Almost a year ago, I said at this podium that this podium, this room, this building belonged to the American people. We work for them. It's not about me. It's about them.
With all of you, a lot of familiar faces in the room, a lot of new faces. And President Trump is back, and the golden age of America has most definitely begun. The Senate has already confirmed 5 of President Trump's exceptional cabinet nominees: Secretary of State Marco Rubio, Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth, CIA Director John Ratcliffe, Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem, and Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent. It is imperative that the Senate continues to confirm the remainder of the president's well-qualified nominees as quickly as possible. As you have seen during the past week, President Trump is hard at work fulfilling the promises that he made to the American people on the campaign trail.
There you go.
Quite a contrast.
Jean-Pierre said it wasn't about her, but it started out. Of course it was about
all about her.
Not about her, certainly her, but as a poster child for the agenda of the left.
Correct.
And Carolyn, on the other hand, started out, this wasn't about her. It was about what the American people wanted, why they elected Donald Trump, again, to be 47th president of the United States, and his agenda, things that he was going to be doing that were critical to making America great again.
Yeah.
And so anyway, there's that distinction.
It's a huge distinction. Yeah. If you listen to that, it's like, okay, it's talking about the different qualities of her. And I feel like, and I'm probably controversial for me to say that, but she was partly hired because of those qualities. Mm-hmm. And I saw, as a journalist myself, I watched some of those press briefings if I could, because it was hard to stomach. And I felt like that woman, unfortunately, was not the best in communicating to the press. And I'm like, okay. But she had these different qualities that allowed her to rise up in the administration. And it's unfortunate, because it should be all merit-based. You know what I mean? I'm not saying she has no merit, but she got ahead of some people because of those qualities. So, yeah. I think it's okay to say that. You guys all agree with me?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. And it might be controversial, but it's truth, in my opinion, the truth of how I see it.
Well, we're dealing with there's a microscopic view on DEI now.
Yes.
We've talked about that and all those things. And getting diversity, back to merit-based hiring. Mm-hmm. You know, you want people that can do the job.
Right. And that's where President Trump is going. And, you know, also the one thing that it stood out for me,
Jean-Pierre.
You know, she was handing out lies while she was up there. Mm-hmm. And she was trying to make those lies into a truth. Mm-hmm.
And a lot of them were written in a book that she was reading them.
Right. She went to those pages.
Because she could not do ad lib.
She went to those pages. And it was, you know, from which eyes that you're looking at it from, or which ears you're hearing from, it was nothing but a bunch of lies.
Yeah.
It was nothing but a bunch of lies. And so that's what stood out for me.
That is a hinge pin position as well, because, you know, we've got all of the people that are being given their positions, but this person that's standing at that podium is the hinge pin between the administration and the public.
Right.
Yeah.
And
right.
So
it's a huge position.
It has to be. Last night I was thinking through what we were doing today, and I just looked up the definition of truth, and it says that which is real in a deeper sense, spiritual or genuine reality, righteousness, to make exact, to correct for inaccuracy. And I thought through that last night, and I thought, you know, of course, my truth is on the foundation of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And
all of our foundations are on Jesus Christ.
Always, right. Exactly. Right. But when you're looking at the nation and people that are sitting beside you at a restaurant or sitting beside you, you know, the truth is the foundation of Jesus Christ, but they may not be seeing it through that lens.
Right.
And so if they're looking at someone who's going to be leading them in their nation and they're being fed lies, I mean, it just gets perpetuated out into to the culture. And then, you know, I mean,
it bleeds into all of society. And then you have a society that has become woke and has been built on lies.
And you know, one time, and I can't say the name of the person here, but I was having a discussion. Let's go back to a discussion. I was having a discussion with somebody.
Not you, Keith. Not you.
Who's close to me, right?
That's good.
Who's close to me.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was asking them at the time, you know, how can you vote for President Biden when everything that he's doing is nothing but lies, and he speaks lies, and you could show him where the lies were that he spoke. You could actually go and fact check those lies. And the response that I got was, so what? So does President Trump. Yeah. That's the response that I received.
Yeah, but could he really back it up with like actual?
Yeah,
you know what
see,
I mean?
No,
that's a line.
Well, as you know, it was a heated conversation.
Yeah.
You know, it's a heated conversation. You're not going to go and pinpoint that. But this is coming from the heart when you have these conversations with these people. With people that are not, that do not know the Lord.
Yeah.
That do not know
these
the
aren't
Lord.
My favorite conversations, I have to say. I mean,
they're controversial.
They are. Yeah. They really are.
But we are committed to bringing, you know, the hard things
absolutely.
On this show.
Absolutely. One of the things that happened about 4 years ago, there's a correspondent for OAN News. Her name's Chanel Rion, And I met Chanel in Missouri, and when her husband was running for Senate, and she was actually in the press room, in the briefing room, but she was very conservative.
OAN is One American News Network.
Yes, One American News Network. Yes, and it's very reputable. So it's, yes, it's very conservative and good news. But they have a correspondent room downstairs where the reporters will go after they're briefed, and they'll they'll then assimilate what they're going to say, put it out to the news, and put it out to their networks. And one day she went down, and her whole desk was covered with crime tape, and they kicked her out. They did not want her there. And you can actually go on her webpage and her Facebook page, I think, and see that there's this chair that she's setting in outside of the White House. And she had a tent set up out there, and they allowed her to do that. President Trump allowed her to do that so that she could actually get the news out. And now they...
So she was kicked out of her desk.
She was kicked off out of her desk, yes.
And she had to go outside?
Yes. There was a tent set up outside. You can see it. There, she, wow, she has a picture of it. And that happened, I think, 4 years ago when Biden first came back in.
Yeah.
So, or when he came in. But I thought about how God brings restoration, and he, you know, I feel bad for people that are blinded to the fact that these lies they're bringing as truth.
Yeah.
And there are those people out there like Chanel and others that are trying to bring the truth to the public. Mm-hmm. So don't, if you're discouraged with the media out there right now, I would encourage you to, you know, call us and ask us what we what we watch and what we think, and you know, because it's good to find out who you can trust. OAN News, One American News Network, is good.
Yeah, I listen to a lot, and
you know,
I read
more than
a lot.
I do. Yeah, you do. A
I
lot
go
of
to
that.
The Daily Wire, which is good. Amazing. And I listen to I go to the Citizen Press. And that's a bunch of links, citizenpress.com. It's a bunch of links of what's happening. Like a link will come out, like a link just came out that Robert Kennedy just passed the committee, the Senate committee, his vote, and it will go to the full Senate. But what's exciting is we now have a White House press briefing room that is welcoming a whole new genre of journalists. Okay, so during the Biden administration, I got sick of listening to, I'm going to be honest, even the Fox News, because because the same big stuff. Conglomerates are owned by these big companies. And I went to citizen journalists. I went to the smaller podcasters. And these podcasters are now having the ears and the eyes of the people who are listening to the news from them. And now they're going to be able to sit in front of Carolyn Leavitt and the whole White House press corps and be able to report. That's citizen journalism, and it just gets me so excited. So this topic today is really exciting, and it's a good chapter for the United States where we could actually now hear these journalists who have 440 people were taken away, their press passes were taken away.
Yeah. And, you had
440.
A narrow lane of six, you're saying? Six
conglomerate companies.
Yep. Right? So this opens up the road to transparency in the White House. And I don't know how anybody can argue with that. I don't know how anybody can argue against President Trump's transparency on what he's doing. And all you get is finger pointing from people that don't understand.
There's a dynamic here that I just want to throw into our conversation because it has to do with the recipient of the news, and that's us. That's us. The people sitting watching the TV, opening up our computer, listening to the radio, however we get that, there's a responsibility that has been ignored, and that is we don't check. People say, this is true, we don't check. We accept it. I say we generically. We accept what we're given. It's like, I'm okay. That's what they say. It's got to be true because it's coming from this source. And we don't check.
And we even have to check the citizen journalists,
we
too.
Do.
And that brings us to the Holy Spirit. I'm sorry to interrupt, but the Holy Spirit inside of us will give us discernment, even if there's a big conglomerate or like a small news podcast, our spirit will tell us if that seems off.
And we're responsible for that. That goes self-responsibility.
But it's something it's a responsibility we need to re-engage with. You know, we have a part in this. If you talk about partnership in citizenry, we all have a partnership we need to participate in, and that includes, you know, we are recipients. Yes, we have to trust, but if we don't verify what trust but verify, if we don't do the verification, we are not partaking fully in the opportunity to be informed as much as we need to be.
And you know what they did during the Biden administration? They created fact checkers that were just as corrupt. So you would see, like, if you read a news story and then it said fact check, and then it would say this is wrong, but that fact checking was steeped in dishonesty also from the left.
Right.
But because we have the Holy Spirit, Christians, we can take heed to that prompting inside of us if something seems off. And I do that with everything I read, not only just, you know, just the big conglomerates, but everything. I'm like, okay, that seems off, then I'm going to do my own research.
I love what you do, Anne. Yeah. I love the fact that you come back and you make us fact check. It's like, where did you find that?
You know what they say?
What was your source on that?
Ask the questions.
I worked in Chicago for City News Bureau, which was like Associated Press in Chicago. And what we had clients who got our news. We provided the breaking news, and we had WGN News Radio, Sun-Times, Chicago Tribune as our clients. And this is the famous quote that comes out of the City News Bureau. If your mom says she loves you, make sure to check first. So check. Like, if your mom says she loves you, make sure to check on that first. That's our famous line, because as journalists, we're made to be just innately curious and innately just doubtful and cynical. But then we check to see if something is truth. And I think, like you said, David, we all as a society need to be like that.
Yes.
Right?
And think how big everything is right now. I mean, there's so much information coming in at one time, and we do have to rely on Holy Spirit a lot more now.
And the Spirit of God will speak to us. I think, first of all, we might get an inner response to something that we're hearing or seeing, and we're being told something about it, and we're not really sure that's true. And that's an indicator that we need not to accept what we're being told is true. As an example, although I'm technically retired, you wouldn't know it by by how I organize my life, but for 6.5 years before I officially retired, I was a hospice chaplain, and most of my patients were in nursing homes and assisted living, and many of them had dementia, one form or another, usually Alzheimer's, but there was also other types of dementia. So when Joe Biden began to give off clear indications that his cognition was not up to what they were saying, my radar was already picking up on that.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of other people that have similar experiences to mine, and some that maybe not in the wealth and breadth and depth of it, but know people that have cognition issues, and yet those same people, you know, would watch the legacy news or maybe pick up a press room briefing from one of his Biden's press secretary when that issue came up. And of course, they were saying, "Oh, this guy can run circles around me," you know. I mean, any other kind of stuff they were throwing out to divert from the fact that he had issues, cognition. He was not cognitively appropriate enough to be president of the United States.
Are you saying that we need to use common sense when we look at these things?
That is exactly common sense. What happened to the average American to kind of detach from the common sense? I don't know, but hopefully we'll get back to that.
Yeah, it's bad. I want to bring in this verse because I feel like the Holy Spirit wants us to bring it up. John 16:13, when the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all the truth, for He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak. Amen. And that's why we as Christians have to heed to that Spirit of truth. When we are taking in everything, and even in just like everyday society, He will clue us in, Amen. And He will guide us into all truth.
Let's take a break. We'll be right back.
Revival's in the air. The kingdom of God is here. This is Luann Linneken, the host of Kingdom Recovery. I invite you to join me every Friday at 5 p.m. right here on WCNO 89.9 FM. Kingdom Recovery is a live, cutting-edge program where I will be talking about God's saving, healing, and delivering power. Don't miss it. Revival's in the air.
Every Monday, we will bring you stories from the front line of ministry, ordinary people doing extraordinary things for God. We will redefine where the front line is, from risky missions to comfortable caring, always with the invitation for you, the listener, to look for the front line in your life. Tune in to 89.9 FM every Monday at 11 a.m. Get on the front line. Welcome back to A Biblical Response. Wow, that first half hour just zipped right by, you know. But we are back, and to remind you, you can call in. If this topic has not inspired some people to call, I don't know what's going on. Maybe you're driving and you can't. Maybe you've embedded your teeth in the steering wheel of your Camry or something because you can't call, and either you're agreeing with us or you're disagreeing with us. Either way, you can call 772-221-1100. That's 772-221-1100. Stephanie.
Yeah, Ann was talking about the medium that hasn't been had the opportunity to report as a resident member of the Pentagon Press Corps. The spokesman for the Department of Defense, John Hewlett, says that the correspondence corridor, which what I was talking about earlier for certain news organizations, he's revoking the physical workspace. However, they will still have access to the Pentagon briefing, so they're not completely shutting them off, and remain members of the Pentagon Press Corps, as confirmed by Hewlett. So it's not that they're saying they can't, but in the prior administration, they literally revoked the possibility of a different angle or a different side of things. And so they were totally controlling that narrative.
Yeah.
That's so sad.
So they got, four the left-leaning news organizations that are leaving the White House under a new media rotation program that President Trump put in. Mm-hmm.
They're keeping the left ones because they want them as voices.
Right.
But they're bringing in all these other voices that were.
But they're moving them out of these offices.
Right.
They're relocating them.
Right.
And they're putting different news organizations in, guess close to the wing.
I don't know, but NBC expressed disappointment over losing a broadcasting booth they had been in use for decades. Right. And I'm like,
they got to make room for all these new media.
But no, what gives them the right to have this? I mean,
right. So it's the New York Times, it's the NBC News, NPR, and Politico. Mm-hmm. Those were the four news organizations that are being removed out of their desks and I guess out of their booth stations, whatever it is.
Yeah,
I don't know.
But they're still going to have voices in the room.
They're going to have voices in the room.
Yeah, which I want our audience to.
They're being taken away from where they were.
Yeah.
And you're getting four different news organizations.
It's just different.
It's different.
And you know what?
Shaking it up.
Different is hard for them to accept.
Oh, right. Different's hard for me. I have a problem with different sometimes. Well,
maybe they'll be able to set up a tent outside
there
the building.
There you go. Yeah. Maybe so.
Under the shade of a tree.
There you go.
Look at what the Lord says in Isaiah 43:19.
Mm. Okay.
Behold, I am doing a new thing.
Yes.
Now it shall spring forth. I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert.
Amen.
He's doing a new
thing. Doors.
And
he's
sometimes,
opening doors.
Sometimes a new thing isn't even comfortable for us. And we have to remember that we are a light to those that are uncomfortable. And so we may have to get uncomfortable with them. And that's okay.
It's okay. We voted in this president and he's doing so much. And I have people who I know are affected, who are federal workers.
Mm-hmm.
And he's calling them back to office. And what is the latest statistic? I said 10,000 people already have taken the
buyout
to retire. Mm-hmm. And the reason why I'm saying is he's doing a lot of things that are uncomfortable, but I think this is what needs to be done to overhaul and change the corrupt system that has just been ballooned too big. The federal government has gotten too big, and our founding fathers did not have this as the intent.
No.
They wanted more of the rights put into the hands of the people, states. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And our federal government has swollen to a size that has gotten entirely way too big, that you have these innocuous positions in these government agencies and you don't even know they're making like six figures, and then you don't even know what they do, and it's our tax dollars that are paying for them. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's just, it's uncomfortable, but it's a good thing, right?
And we're pulling in our boundaries. We're pulling in those things to the sovereignty of our nation. You know, it's like putting on the oxygen mask. We've got to have our oxygen mask on before we can help other people. Do I want to help other people? That's the first thing on my mind in the morning. Mm-hmm. What can I, you know, who is it that I need to be reaching out to today?
Yeah, yeah.
And so on a personal level, I do that. And on the national level, that's what, it's okay to do that. But you still have to put that, and it's going to be uncomfortable. Just is.
Yeah. Well,
change, you know, let's face it.
For everyone.
Change is not always, all of it's not always comfortable.
No. Yeah.
Especially in the beginning.
Right.
But if we perceive it to be godly change, and it's whether it's individually in our own lives or corporately or even broadly into the whole nation, you know, if God's behind it, we got to be behind it too.
Mm, absolutely.
And we will see. It's like I always related, I have a friend that just had back surgery.
Mm-hmm.
And so he was in pain before. And that was the pain of the damage, the injury. Well, the surgeon fixed that. So now he's going through a season of the pain of the surgery, which is slowly going away because it got rid of the pain of the damage. And so when you have change, it's often you're in pain in the beginning because something surgical has happened. And man, don't you know, God loves to do surgery.
Yeah,
he does inner and surgery.
Restoration, it's inner, yeah, can be painful, and it should be, frankly. It should be, because what God is doing is making us better. He's making us stronger.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're coming from a place of weakness, it's just the fact that change is happening is painful.
He disciplines those he loves.
He does.
So I'm like, Lord, I feel like I'm so disciplined. Thank you for loving me, though. I hope that didn't sound arrogant.
No, I feel like this
stage of my life has been a lot of discipline.
Sure.
And I know it's because he's changing me. And I feel like that Isaiah scripture, it's like a new chapter for what I'm personally living myself.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Right. Right.
So.
And right. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Anyone who opens it, I will come in and sup with, and he will sup with me.
And isn't that the bottom line? It is that we are showing his love and joy and eternity with him. I mean, that thrills me to know that we can talk about the government in the way that it is and then can bring it back down to, but we know why God has put us here in this moment, in this time, to be able to speak to the people listening on the airwaves, come into this, you know, intimate setting with us and talk about who he is in our lives.
Amen.
There is so much. Mm. There is so much. What's the word that I'm looking for? And I just had it a second ago. But anything in life you can open up the Bible to.
Yeah.
And because the Bible is timeless,
will address every situation.
Right, it will address every situation.
It does.
The Word of God is timeless.
Timeless.
It speaks to each and every one of us individually.
It is his word.
I want to bring up that the kingdom of God. Okay, Jesus is going to come back, and he is wanting to return to a spotless, unblemished lamb, which is us, the church.
Mm-hmm.
And he's making these changes because preparation needs to be made for Jesus to come back. And what's happening in our world has never happened in the 50 years of life that I've been living. Like, to see such change for the good happening in our government, okay? We don't idolize Trump, but the Lord is using this administration to bring in good changes. Like, he's actually standing up for the church. He's actually making sure the church is not penalized. We were so prosecuted under the last administration. And, you know, a lot of Christians felt like it wasn't right for them to take the COVID shot. Okay, I'm not saying all Christians felt that way. I was one of them who I felt from the Lord said, do not take that COVID shot. Mm-hmm. And I felt I was standing up for my religious what am I saying? My religious right to be able to say, don't take that shot.
Which they were trying to take away.
But then I lost my job.
They were trying to take away.
You did? You lost your job?
I lost my job of 20 years because I stood up and said, I am not going to take that COVID shot. So I'm saying that the church and a lot of Christians were persecuted, and they're trying. Mm-hmm. I feel like the last administration and just the world in general was trying to silence the church and the voices of Christians. I'm not saying entirely that's why they made people take shots, but there were a lot of Christians, especially in the military. We see a lot of our military who chose not to take that shot, who were Christians, and they stood on their principles, their biblical principles of like, if I hear from the spirit of truth to not take it, then I will not take it. And they lost their job. But we have a president now, and this is the contrast I want to give, who's protecting Christians and standing up for the rights of the church and Christians, for biblical values.
Amen.
Gender ideology. God, no more.
God is restoring.
He's restoring. Yes.
Right?
Because the kingdom of God is going to be restored into this earth.
Yes.
It's exciting.
It's restoration. It's a period of restoration.
Yeah.
Yep.
And we get to live in this.
Exactly.
You didn't know that?
I didn't.
About my job. Okay,
no.
Sorry.
You know what? I may have. I may have forgotten.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We may have talked about it.
Yeah.
But I wanted to talk. Go ahead, David.
No, I was just going to say, in the course of our discussion, there may be some listeners that are having a hard time when they hear us talking about God's interest in America, let's say, and have a hard time correlating that with their own personal understandings of life in general. And if you're not a believer, and we're not, by the way, I'm not criticizing you if you're not a believer, but I'm pointing out that all those of us in this room, and certainly those that claim to be believing Christians, all have a sense that God has given us that God's plan for creation we are a part of. And it's an unbroken line of God's plan from the day before he made everything until the day down the road, wherever that may be, that everything comes to a close. Because in Scripture tells us there was a beginning, there's also an end, and we go to the book of Revelation really to tell us what that looks like. But that God's plan will ultimately, for creation, will come to an end, but that it is unbroken. And we have a hard time with that because as human beings, we make plans and they fail, right? And we have to then reassess. But God's perfect. We don't understand that. But because God from the very beginning knew exactly how he was going to play it all out, and that we can be a part of that, we believe here, those of us in this room and others that are believing Christians, believe we are a part of it. Are we perfectly a part of it? No. God is continually reminding me that he's better at this than I am. He's perfect and I'm not, and I need to realign my desires with his. But mentally, for many people, it's just hard to make that leap, and it is kind of, let's face it, a leap of faith, to begin to accept what is ultimately God's revealed truth about himself, that we are a part of we are a small part of a larger plan.
Absolutely.
And that we can, if we know him, if we've given our lives to him, because salvation fits into this in terms of our understanding, and this life that we have in Christ, we begin to receive revelation that enables us to appreciate what God has done, is doing, and will do in the whole scope of the history of creation. Now, that's a big nut for some people to chew on. But absolutely. I believe it's the Scriptures lead us to that, and it helps to say, okay, yeah, I see now.
Well, David, just as we were saying, right, Scripture, you can go to Scripture for each individual, and just what you were talking about, Proverbs 16:9. We can make, and the New Living Translation, we can make our plans, but the Lord determines our steps.
Amen.
You can make your plans for life, but the Lord determines your steps. And God, yes, God is guiding.
And as Christians, we may feel like we know what's best for our life and we take steps, but the Lord sees far ahead because he sees everything. And praise God that we can trust him, then he could steer us in a different direction and he determines our steps for our good, when we put our trust in the Lord.
And let's just say America fits into God's whole plan of creation.
Absolutely.
And so do we, because we are here. And so with that, let's take a break.
Hi, this is Karen Hubbard, inviting you to join me every Friday at 11 a.m. for Hidden Places, where you'll hear exciting testimonies, amazing stories, and casual conversations with believers just like you, here on WCNO 89.9 FM.
Hello, this is Luke Lewis.
I'm Tiffany Young, and we're with Treasure Coast Realty Group. Join us every Wednesday at 5:30 p.m. for our show, Keeping It Real Estate.
We'll cover everything from getting you ready to purchase a home to sharing programs that help with closing costs and tips to sell your home hassle-free.
Plus, we'll dive into local market conditions, have special guests, and take your calls live on the air.
Don't miss this power-packed show to help you achieve your real estate goals. See you then.
And welcome back to the last 15 minutes of A Biblical Response. We have been on a roll, folks. We've been moving really fast.
I know.
Covering a lot of ground. If you want to call in, there's still time. 772-221-1100. That's 772-221-1100. We'd like to hear from you.
You know what? I want to bring up a quote that Carolyn Leavitt, the current press secretary for President Trump, said at the podium last Wednesday. She said, I would like to point out, while I vow to provide the truth from this podium, we ask that all of you in this room hold yourselves to that same standard. Mm. We know for a fact there have been lies that have been pushed by many legacy media outlets in this country about this president, about his family, and we will not accept that. We will call you out when we feel that your reporting is wrong or there is misinformation about this White House. Mm-hmm. So yes, I will hold myself to the truth, and I expect everyone in this room to do the same. So I like that.
That's strong.
That is.
On their part, on the White House press brief, White House press corps part, they're going to hold themselves to speaking the truth from the podium, mm-hmm. but they're also going to monitor if the outlets that they're looking at, the people, you know, in the press briefing room, all the networks, all the podcasters, all the radio stations, all the newspapers, all the websites are going to be also speaking the truth. And if they're not, they're going to call it out. And it reminds me of the book of Proverbs, because I just finished the book of Proverbs for 31 chapters in the 31 days of January. Mm. And the Lord speaks time and time again how he hates lies. Mm-hmm. He hates mm-hmm. the dishonest scales. And the Lord hates the lies. So it's good that we have a White House that's going to be calling out the lies, because that's what the Lord hates.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm just so encouraged by a White House that is going to be speaking. They're going to be endeavoring to speak the truth and is going to be calling out if there's going to be untruth coming from the press.
Well, that's who the Lord is, right? He says, yes. I am the way, the truth.
The truth.
And the life, right? He is the yes. truth.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we have. And, you know, I just want to, President Trump, the one thing that President Trump does, and he looks to counsel for decision-making processes. Mm-hmm. And I know that this is just out of left field, but President Biden didn't come together with his cabinet meetings. He had like 9 cabinet meetings in 4 years.
Wow.
And he didn't look for input.
Counsel, yeah.
From cabinet meetings, right, mm-hmm. right, mm-hmm. right. Proverbs 12:15 says, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, mm-hmm. but a wise and prudent man is he who listens to counsel.
Mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm. one thing that President Trump does do is get advice and counsel. He puts it together, and then he comes to a conclusion and a decision from that.
Yeah.
But he doesn't mm-hmm. jump off like, I mean, nine cabinet meetings in 4 years. He didn't have one for a year. In 2023, there wasn't one for a year.
That's right. So sad.
Well, and I'm just going to throw this in, you know, that there's some speculation that there was a shadow government that was really running the show.
Yeah.
Right, we can go there, right?
We can go there, might as well, because that's out there.
I believe it. I completely believe
but
it.
But that's been out right. there, and right. there's some that speculation is not just based on made-up stuff.
Just our thoughts, yeah. You know,
right. Knowing that the president himself did not appear to be capable of making decisions. So a guy in that condition, why would he even ask people for advice if he himself mm-hmm. you know, was not in a position mm-hmm. to be making those, somebody else was making those decisions mm-hmm. in another location.
Yeah.
So there's that, I think that has to factor into it too. Very different today. Thank God for the difference. Yeah. Vive la différence, as we would say.
I don't know if a lot of
the fresh air,
if our listeners were watching yeah. the day of the inauguration, but he was signing a bunch of executive orders from the what room is it called to get from the room?
The Oval Office.
Yeah.
And sorry, guys.
That's okay.
So he was signing a bunch of executive orders, but in the meantime, he had a bunch of press in his office, and all these press were like asking him questions. All these reporters, mm-hmm. and I'm like, wow, he's sitting there and he's just having conversation one on one with these reporters, and they were free to just say whatever they wanted to ask. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, this is such a contrast to the last White House. And if you can't imagine, they didn't want to put Biden in a room full of press because he was being controlled. Like we said, we believe mm-hmm. it was a shadow government. So then if he got some questions that he didn't know the answers to, why are they going to set their president up to yeah, look bad?
I don't think he had the wherewithal to actually answer those yeah. questions. No. And that's sad. That is a sad state of affairs. But, you know, God has a way of bringing things around, and mm-hmm. we don't know his secrets, but he certainly yeah. is.
You know, it probably wouldn't hurt to think about, we come to a close, we have a few minutes yet, but yeah. think about, we'd like to pray at the end of this program, and I'm just going to invite us, and you had some scripture you wanted
yeah,
to share.
Yeah, I felt Stephanie. Like before I came in here today, I was asking the Lord, you know, what encouragement can mm-hmm. we take out of this? Because mm-hmm. this can be a discouraging conversation, because mm-hmm. we don't know. Mm-hmm. I mean, even the podcasters can throw shade on things and
mm-hmm. yeah,
and
yeah.
be wrong, and so we do have to have. What are you laughing at, Keith?
I thought you were going to say another word.
No, not from me. You won't hear that.
No, I know.
But I was like, okay, Lord, what kind of you know, confirmation and encouragement. And he took me to the book of Habakkuk, and it's a really tiny little book in the scripture. But there's a lot of turmoil in that book, and God was not, you know, favorable looking at the country that he was in and the community that he was in, and so it wasn't coming down that Habakkuk was going to see good things. Mm-hmm. And we want to see good things in this country. We want things to turn around. We want to come back to that quote unquote golden age and not.
Yes.
But even if you go back to the 17th verse of Habakkuk, the third chapter, it says, though the fig tree should not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, the produce of the olive fail, and the fields yield no food, the flock be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls. Now that sounds pretty dismal to
pretty
me.
Pretty dismal, mm-hmm. yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. Mm. I will take joy in the God of my salvation. Mm. God, the Lord, is my strength. He makes my feet like the deer's. He makes me tread upon my high places.
Amen.
He is our comfort, our guide, our lead, our everything. And so I just encourage everybody to, you know, don't get down. Because God is in control. Mm-hmm. He puts them in place. He takes them out of place. He gives them, you know, the authority to do what they're mm-hmm. going to do. But he is in control. He
you
is
know,
the authority.
Yes. You were just reading that there was no fig on the fig tree. Mm. And isn't it amazing that when Jesus came to the fig tree, there was no figs on the tree.
Yeah.
Right? And Jesus got correct. Mad at the fig tree. But here's the other side of that. That the fig tree was not in season. So there was no figs on the tree because it was not in season yep. anyway. Mm-hmm. But the Lord got mad at the fig tree, and he withered the fig tree mm-hmm. up. So God does love us all, mm-hmm. you know, yeah. but he absolutely. Does, right, he wants you to come to know him as well and to know his love.
Absolutely.
So let's have a closing prayer. Keith, would you lead us in prayer?
Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for today. Yes. We thank you, Father God, for this time together, Lord, to share your wisdom, your words, Father God. And we just thank you, Lord, for the ears that are hearing and if hearts to open hearts, Lord, we thank you for them. And we ask you, Father God, for increase in the ears that are listening, Lord, to bring them to hear your words, Lord. And we just ask you, Lord, we elevate this station, Lord. We lift you up, Lord, to this station, yes, Father God. Jesus. And we thank you, Lord, for the time together right now, Lord, and to open hearts. And we just thank you in Jesus' name, Lord, to bless this station and to bless the people that are hearing this, Lord.
Yes.
May they be prosperous. May they come to know your wisdom if they don't right now, yes. Father God. May they come to know your wisdom. May they come to know your truth. May they come to know your salvation. May they come to know you, Lord. Each and every one of them, Lord. And we thank you for it. We ask you, Lord, for protection over President Trump and his family, Lord. We ask you for peace, Lord, during this time, Lord. We ask you, Father God, for all of the turmoil to come to rest, Lord. In your name, in Jesus' name we pray, Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Keith. Thank you, brother. And I was going to say to our listeners that, there's a lot of things happening in the news. By the very nature of the fact we only have an hour and the depth we get into things, we don't cover all the hot button issues that happened in the week, you know, that between shows. So
we'd have a show that never ends.
We have a show that never ends, and people say, "Well, I miss the music." But if there's an item in the news that's really bugging you, and you want us to consider, be prayerful about maybe touching on it, you can send an email to me, David, and what I would do is the email address is wcno@wcno.com. That's wcno@wcno.com.
Amen.
And you can address on the subject line just David dash a biblical response. David, and then put a dash, a biblical response. And just kind of say, the stuff going on in the news, I'd like you guys to look at through that biblical lens.
Yeah.
Point it out. What is it?
We'd love that.
Send us that, and we'll send it, be timely. We could deal with it. In fact, if you send it out in the next few days, we'll be able to look at it when we get together as a team on Monday afternoon to talk about this program on Tuesday. So
yeah, after we've taken the week to pray
that. No guarantee. I mean, we'll be able to, we listen to the Lord too, and he guides us, but he may be using you.
Absolutely.
So again, wcno@wcno.com, and that's our email address. And
can I bring up a verse that I feel... Yeah, I'm getting right now.
Minutes.
Psalm, when Keith was praying, Psalm 33:12, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. So I just want to pray, Lord, that this nation continues to follow you, Lord God. We pray for revival in the hearts of all people, Jesus. We pray that this nation follows you, Lord God, that we will repent and that we will confess you as Lord and Savior, Jesus, that people who don't know you, Lord, our government officials, people listening to this radio station, lay people, everyone who does not know you, that you will draw near to them so that they may accept your love because you draw them with your immense love, Father God.
Yes.
And we pray that this nation...
Yes.
has you as our Lord so that we are blessed. That's the only way we want to be. We want to follow your plan for this nation, and we thank you for what's happening, and we look forward to this golden age that has started, and only because you're in control.
Yes, Lord.
And we praise you and we give you all glory in Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you.
Do I have time to read Proverbs 19? Proverbs
19,
verse 20-21.
Yep.
We have about less than a minute.
Hear counsel and receive instruction, that thou may be wise in the later end, in the latter end.
Read that again.
Yes,
Keith.
Yes. Hear counsel and receive instruction, that thou may be wise in the latter end.
Amen.
Proverbs 19, verse
instruction.
20, 21. Yes, instruction.
Instruction of the Lord. Yep.
Instruction of the Lord.
Yep. The last few minutes, this reminds me of the question God asked me. Was before I received his son Jesus. He said, the guy's running your life, how good is he doing? And it was me. And I was doing a lousy job. And when I gave my life to Christ, so much better. Anyway, we got to go. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening,
everyone. Be back again next week.
God bless.
Thank you for joining us. Tune in next Tuesday at 11 a.m. for another edition of A Biblical Response. If you have issues of the day you would like us to explore, email us at wcno@wcno.com. In the subject line, write David at A Biblical Response.